कल्याणवर प्रणाम श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय गुरु महाराज की जय प्रचिदासी प्रभु शालो हरे कृष्णा
माताजी दंडवत प्रणाम ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्रील प्रभुपाद थैंक यू सो मच माताजी फॉर जॉइनिंग एंड गिविंग योर सेशन हरे कृष्णा
हरे कृष्णा
हरे कृष्ण माता जी दंडवत प्रणाम श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय गुरु महाराज की जय दिस इज अरविंद दास फ्रॉम शिकागो हरे कृष्णा
हरे कृष्ण अरविंद दास प्रभुजी दंडवत प्रणाम ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्रील प्रभुपाद थैंक यू सो मच प्रभुजी फॉर जॉइनिंग एंड गिविंग योर सेशन हरे कृष्णा
हरे कृष्ण विका गंधविका माताजी दंडवत प्रणाम प्लीज एक्सेप्ट माय हंबल ओबेसेंसेस ऑल गोइस टू श्रील प्रभुपाद एंड गुरुदेव दिस इज राधारानी देवीदासी फ्रॉम बाल्टीमोर
हरे कृष्ण राधारानी माताजी दंडवत प्रणाम ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्रील प्रभुपाद थैंक यू सो मच माताजी फॉर जॉइनिंग एंड गिविंग योर सेशन हरे कृष्ण
हरे कृष्ण विका गंधविका माताजी दंडवत प्रणाम ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्रील प्रभुपाद एंड गुरुदेव दिस इज राधा फ्रॉम बाल्टीमोर
हरे कृष्ण राधा माताजी दंडवत प्रणाम ऑल ग्लोरी टू शीला प्रभुपाद थैंक यू सो मच माताजी फॉर जॉइनिंग हरे कृष्ण
हरे कृष्ण अभिनीत गंधर्विका माताजी दंडवत प्रणाम ऑल ग्लोरी टू शीला प्रभुपाद ऑल ग्लोरी टू गुरु महाराज एंड ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज दिस इज टिफनी इन पेंसिल्वेनिया हरे कृष्ण
हरे कृष्ण टिफनी माताजी दंडवत प्रणाम ऑल ग्लोरी टू शीला प्रभुपाद थैंक यू सो मच माताजी फॉर जॉइनिंग एंड गिविंग योर सेशन हरे कृष्ण
हरे कृष्ण विनीता गंधर्विका माताजी ओ गोर शीला प्रभुपाद एंड गुरु महाराज माय हंबल ओबेसेंसेस टू यू एंड ऑल द डिवोटीज दिस इज कृष्ण कुमार देवीदासी फ्रॉम बाल
हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण कुमारी माताजी दंडवत प्रणाम ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्रील प्रभुपाद थैंक यू सो मच माताजी फॉर जॉइनिंग एंड गिविंग योर सेशन हरे कृष्ण कुमारी की माताजी दंडवत प्रणाम ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्रील प्रभुपाद थैंक यू सो मच माताजी फॉर जॉइनिंग एंड गिविंग योर सेशन एंड थैंक यू फॉर सो मच फॉर ऑनिंग योर वीडियो माताजी नाइस टू सी यू हरे कृष्ण
Thank you very much. Mataji, you are very, very blissful. Thank you. And it's contagious too. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Guru Maharaj. Mataji, Prabhuji has already joined and I think so many devotees are there they want to introduce but you know, Prabhuji might have.
Okay, Mataji, we'll start the recording. Indu Mataji, can you start the recording? Hare Krishna, welcome everybody to Bhakti Sangha Jepa conference call today. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Vishwaroop Prabhuji to enlighten us on topic Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto. 6th chapter, 4th verse onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for your valuable time and association this morning. Before I hand over your call to you, I request Tiffany Mataji, please take over the call for introduction. Hare Krishna Mataji, please take over for introduction, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. His Grace Vishwaroop Prabhuji was introduced to ISKCON in 1983 during his medical college days. Prabhuji received his first initiation in 1986 and Brahman initiation in 1987. His Grace Vishwaroop Prabhuji has introduced many doctors and family to Krishna consciousness and cultivated many young student doctors as spiritual counselor. He joined Radha Gopinath Temple for full-time services in 1986. He organized the medical camps in the western Maharashtra suburbs, consisting of prasad distribution, Harinam Sankirtan, cultivating volunteers in Krishna consciousness, and free medical services to villagers. Later on, Prabhuji moved to Rishikesh and Vrindavan to serve in many capacities. Prabhuji developed the Varshana Eye Camp services in 1992. He worked in Saudi Arabia in 1995 to 1997 as a medical doctor and conducted secret spiritual programs every Friday for an average of 20 people. In 1997, he joined Bhaktivedanta Hospital as an officer on special duty. There, he also assisted in establishing the Department of Spiritual Care. In 2004, His Grace Viswarup Prabhuji took full responsibility of the Department of Spiritual Care as Deputy Director. He also started spiritual counseling services to needy patients on an outpatient basis. He developed a detailed protocol for end-of-life spiritual care, and he trains the staff members regularly on this subject. Now he is training medical doctors in spiritual lifestyle and practices. He has developed a full-fledged curriculum in spiritual care and nursing based on teachings of Srila Prabhupada for undergraduate and postgraduate nursing students and implemented it in the Bhaktivedanta Institute of Nursing Education from 2005. He extensively delivered spiritual discourses on Bhagavad Gita on various television channels like Star TV, Ashta, etc., ETC, Colors, and etc. He also delivered professional and spiritual discourses to medical professionals in the UK and the USA. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, you have to unmute yourself, Prabhuji.
My humble request to some of you to open the videos because everybody is closed, so I cannot speak to the screen. My humble request to open the videos. Hare Krishna. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 6th chapter, verse number 4. I will chant the verse myself. Nityam dadati kamasya chidram tam anuyerayah yogina krita maitrasya patyur jayeva pumstali. Nityam dadati kamasya chidram tam anuyerayah yogina krita maitrasya patyur jayeva pumstali. Nityam dadati kamasya Chidram tam anuye rayaha yogina krita maitrasya patyur jayeva pumshtali. Translation is as follows. An unchaste woman is very easily carried away by paramours, and it sometimes happens that her husband is violently killed by her paramours. If the yogi gives his mind a chance and does not restrain it, his mind will give facility to enemies like lust, anger and greed, and they will doubtlessly kill the yogi. Purport. In this verse, the word pumshtali refers to a woman who is easily carried away by men. Such a woman is never to be trusted. Unfortunately, in the present age, women are never controlled. According to the directions of the Shastras, women are never to be given freedom. When a child, a woman must be strictly controlled by her father. When she is young, she must be strictly controlled by her husband. And when she is old, she must be controlled by her elderly sons. If she is given independence and allowed to mingle unrestrictedly with men, she will be spoiled. A spoiled woman being manipulated by paramours, might even kill her husband. This example is given here because a yogi desiring to get free from material conditions must always keep his mind under control. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that in the morning our first business should be to beat the mind 100 times with the shoes. And before going to bed, to beat the mind 100 times with a broomstick. In this way, one's mind can be kept under control. An uncontrolled mind and an unchaste wife are the same. An unchaste wife can kill her husband at any time. And an uncontrolled mind followed by lust, anger and greed, madness, envy, illusion can certainly kill the yogi. When the yogi is controlled by the mind, he falls down. And when the yogi is, one should be very careful. Sorry, when the yogi is controlled by the mind, he falls down into the material condition. One should be very careful of the mind, just as a husband should be very careful of an unchaste wife. Hare Krishna. So, translation again. An unchaste woman is very easily carried away by the paramours. It sometimes happens that her husband is violently killed by her paramours. If the yogi gives his mind a chance and does not restrain it, his mind will give facility to enemies like lust, anger, greed, and they will doubtlessly kill the yogi. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. First of all, I want to express my gratitude to all of you, especially Shama Gauri Mataji, who invited me to come and speak to all of you in Srimad Bhagavatam class. It's a very beautiful practice to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam every day. As we say, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. It's extremely important, those who are serious in making progress in Krishna consciousness. It's very important item, one of the 5 items, to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam, to read Srimad Bhagavatam, to meditate and to practice Srimad Bhagavatam in our life. Because Srimad Bhagavatam contains only those things which are connected with pure devotional service. Shuddha Bhakti. It is only Shuddha Bhakti that is discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam. No other punya, pious activities, or papa, the sinful activities, or karma kanda, the fruitive activities. None of these things which are subordinate to bhakti are discussed. They are not discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why we need to be keeping complete faith whenever we come across some doubts about Srimad Bhagavatam. Sometimes it discusses many stories which doesn't appear to be Shuddha Bhakti. But as a basic principle, we need to understand that those things sometimes which are look like allied things, but they are bringing us finally back to the subject of Shuddha Bhakti. It is the effort of the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam to sometimes give some historic details which finally bring us to the point of Shuddha Bhakti. So finally, whichever way you go, Srimad Bhagavatam only deals with Shuddha Bhakti. And it also is a science which is supposed to be in the transcendental mode of nature. As there are 3 modes of nature, Sattva Guna, Rajaguna, Tamaguna, mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. And there are scriptures for each guna. There are scriptures which bring the tamoguni person to sattva guna by following whatever is mentioned in the scriptures there. There are scriptures which bring people in mode of passion into mode of goodness by following whatever is given in those scriptures. And there are scriptures which bring sattva guni people into the transcendental mode of nature. So whichever mode we are in, finally we have to reach the transcendental mode of nature. We have to reach from Sattvaguna to Vishuddha Sattvaguna. The four regulative principles, they bring us to the level of being a human being. And chanting of Hare Krishna, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, they bring us beyond the mode of goodness. This is very important understanding, that when we follow, Prabhupada says, when we follow four regulative principles, that is no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. He said that we become human beings when we follow these four principles. We don't become bhakta, we become just human being. On the platform of human being, when we chant Hare Krishna, or we read Srimad Bhagavatam, or we associate with devotees, have satsanga, or we worship the deities of the Lord, Archavigraha Puja, and we reside in the dham, or we visit the dham, or dhamavas, pilgrimage. When we do these things, we become situated in the mode of transcendence, that is Vishuddha Sattva Guna. And we should know that why we need to be situated on the Vishuddha Sattva Guna, because the Lord is there in the Vishuddha Sattva Guna. Lord is known for his quality of always being in Vishuddha Sattva Guna, a transcendental mode of goodness, beyond the material mode of goodness. Because material mode of goodness appears very sweet, attractive. It is like a gold chain that also binds us in the material world. When we are in the material mode of goodness, at the end of life, we will reach Swargalokas, the heavenly planets. Urdhvagacchanti sattvastaha. Those people who leave their bodies in the mode of goodness, they rise above in the material world, in the various planets of heavenly situations. Bhu, Bhuvar, Swar, Jana, Tapas, Siddha and Satyalokas. Madhye tishtanti rajasaha. Those who are passionate, very much agitated with the worldly passion for money, fame, prestige, sex, they come back again in the material world. And those who are in the mode of ignorance, adho gacchanti tamasaha, they go down to suffer in the hellish planets. So none of these three things, including the mode of goodness, is going to help us. What we need to do by practice regularly is to situate ourselves in the mode of transcendence. So maybe in the beginning we go up and down. We go up sometimes, like in a chanting period, we go up in the mode of transcendence. Again in daytime we go in passion, or remain in goodness, or sometimes get angry and go in mode of ignorance. But gradually by regular practice, one can situate oneself constantly on the platform of transcendence. That is, remain in Vishuddha Sattva Guna. So for that the method is given. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dhadabrataha. With great determination, when we constantly engage in glorifying the Lord, or the Lord's abode, or the Lord's form, or the Lord's pastimes, and remain absorbed in meditation and remembrance of these pastimes of the Lord, or we engage ourselves in service to the Lord, these are the various means by which we can remain constantly high forever. So what is important is to know that remaining constantly on the mode of transcendence is not difficult. It is easy, it is made easy by acharyas like Srila Prabhupada and by association with sincere devotees who strive to be on the transcendental mode of nature, Vishuddha Sattva Guna. Then we also can start striving and making efforts to be on that mode. It is so beautiful, Srimad Bhagavatam, because Srimad Bhagavatam purely talks about various bhakta charitras, various life stories of those devotees who lived on that platform. The entry in the descriptions of Srimad Bhagavatam needs the qualification to live a life in the mode of transcendence. That's why we see Kunti Devi, we see Bhishma Dev, we see Parikshit Maharaj, we see Yudhishthir Maharaj, we see Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj. So many people who are at one time in one stage, but then they transcended and situated themselves in transcendental mode of nature. Their stories are explained in Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam talks sometimes very boldly, very straightforward about some subjects which we may not discuss in public, but it discusses very boldly because there is no need to compromise. Srimad Bhagavatam is a scripture which is in the mode of transcendence. That's why it speaks very boldly. So like this subject matter which is dealt over here in this verse, it's a very heavy subject matter, you know. Talks very harshly about women and chastity and, you know, killing, getting killed by the unchaste wife and husband who is at risk by such wife. But we should not go by the face value of the verse. We should go to understand the matitartha. Matitartha means what is the intended meaning? What is the message between the lines? What is the message ultimately it wants to give us? So here, there are two things. One is the comparison and one is the substance. The comparison is done to the unchaste woman. And what is it compared? The mind, which is uncontrolled, it is compared to the unchaste wife. So please, all the respectable women here, do not feel offended. This is about those ladies who are not chaste. This is not about the ladies who are Krishna conscious, who are chaste to the process of Krishna consciousness and chaste to the husband whom they are married with. And they are not talking about these women. What has been talked about by Shukdev Goswami directly and by Prabhupada in the purport is about those who are unchaste. And the subject of chastity is extremely important. Please understand that whenever we say chastity, it immediately women come in our mind. Oh, they are supposed to be chaste. But it is not so. Chastity is a subject concerned with men and women both. In fact, chastity is concerned with the soul. When the body is in the, when the soul is in the male body or female body, it doesn't matter. Because originally the soul is feminine in nature, being the part and parcel of the Lord, being subservient to the Lord by constitutional position. The soul is feminine by nature and it has to exhibit chastity towards the master, that is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And while we are exhibiting our chastity to the master, we are sometimes in female body, sometimes in male body, sometimes in young or old, various kinds of situations, maybe Brahminical situation or the administrative situation or mercantile situation or labor situation or a householder situation or a celibate situation or a sannyasi situation. These are all external formalities while we are living in this world. We follow the rules and regulations of this world while we are in this world. And this, thus we try to exhibit our chastity towards our Lord. And while we do that, in Grihastha Ashram, we exhibit our chastity to our husband. And men also are supposed to exhibit their chastity to their wives. As much as my wife is supposed to be chaste to me, I am supposed to be chaste to her also. So please understand, it's a matter of men and women both. In fact, everybody. Everybody has a master and everybody has to express his or her loyalty to the connected person. And when this particular chastity is broken, then there are many, many kinds of varieties of disasters and problems and difficulties we face. That's why Manusmriti says, now Manusmriti, I will speak a few words. Manusmriti is science of human beings, written by Manu. And there are not one Manu, there are 14 Manus. They are all sons of Brahma and they have administrative rights over the material world for 71 Divya Yugas. One Divya Yuga is supposed to be made by four Yugas, Satya, Treta, Dwapar and Kali. This combination of four Yugas is called Divya Yugas. And each Divya Yuga is 43 lakhs 20 and 3 zeros. Number of years is equal to one Divya Yuga. And such 71 cycles is the time span over which one Manu rules the material world on behalf of Lord Brahma. Right now we are in the reign of Vaivasvata Manu. Vaivasvata Manu means son of Vivaswan, sun god. So in the 28th Dwapar Yuga of Vaivasvata Manu, Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, takes birth. And in the 28th Kali Yuga, 28th Divya Yuga cycle Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes birth. Anyway, this is technical understanding. So that Manu has written down some laws for human beings. And therefore Manusmriti. And Manusmriti today is a very controversial subject matter, especially in India, where people have misinterpreted that. But there are many bold statements which are misunderstood, misinterpreted, and violence is created. Many times Manusmriti is burnt openly in public in many, many places because of lack of understanding from acharyas. They have speculated, they have interpreted from their material brains. That's why Manusmriti is the most misunderstood scripture. But Srila Prabhupada, at many times in his purports of his books, writes about Manusmriti, quotes the verses from Manusmriti and gives explanation. Then it becomes very clear. For example, there is a verse which is connected with today's verse. Pita rakshati kaumariye, bharta rakshati yauvane, putra rakshati vardhakye, nastri svatantre marhati. This is the verse from Manusmriti, which says that Pita rakshati kaumari. Father is supposed to protect a girl when she is young. That means when she is small baby, or she is adolescent, or she is young lady. There are various age groups, 1 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 to 15, 15 to 20, and then onwards. So kaumari means when she enters Kumar Avastha. From 10 years onwards to 15 years, then she enters Yavana, then she enters into Yavana. So till 15 years, as per these Vedic scriptures, that means purportedly till she gets married, she is supposed to be protected by her father. Then when she is of a proper age, then father chooses one suitable boy and gets her married as his responsibility. And then Bharta Rakshati Yavane, when she is young and she is married, her husband protects her. And then she gets old sometimes in life, maybe 50 years or 60 years. Then the sons become grown up. They become young boys, or young men. So, putra rakshati vardhakye. Vardhakye means old age. Yavane means young age. Bharta means husband. So, bharta rakshati yavane. And putra rakshati vardhakya means the son is supposed to protect the woman in her old age. And the final statement is very controversial, which is made controversial by people who don't understand. Nastri svatantra marhati. The lady is never supposed to be given independence. Nastri svatantra marhati. She is never supposed to be given independence. Now, the real meaning of all this thing is not that she can never go to college, never develop personality, never can become a very famous character. It is not like that. This is meant from only physical point of view. When the soul is in women's body, there are some physical weaknesses which are very delicate to her personality, bestowed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. that makes a woman very beautiful, very attractive, very delicate, very gentle, very sober. And the feminine aspect of the human being is endowed with love, motherlyhood, motherly nature, motherhood, vatsalya that we call it is. But when a living entity is given a human body which is female, that faculty of love is very beautiful and very attractive. That makes our lives. I am a man, I am born out of a female. And one female called my mother has given me love, affection, kindness and care and helped me to grow in a stable mind and getting educated beautifully. But at the same time, because of the typical nature of the female body, it requires protection. And today's women liberation, whatever the state movements are, they may feel why we are restricted. We are not weak. We know karate. We are black belt champion. And we are, why we should be restricted at home? Why should we come home at 7 p.m. in the night before it gets dark? Why we are so much restricted and so much controlled by the men around? Why the men dominate us? It is not like that. The message has to be understood in the spirit, which is correct spirit. The spirit is protection, loving protection. It's not controlling the movement of ladies. In fact, if we see Draupadi, we see Kunti, we see Anasuya, who is the wife of Atri Muni, we see Kausalya, we see Kaikeyi. They were all great women. They were highly educated. We have Gargi, the daughter of Garga Muni. There are many, many celebrated women. We have Kunti Devi, who is included in Bhagavatam also. So these women were not restricted, but they were protected. And one has to understand one's own constitutional position very truly and nicely so that we act accordingly. We don't become fanatic of false equality. However, whatever we do, men cannot produce children by pregnancy and women have certain restrictions. So the differences will remain. I cannot feed baby on my breast. Or I don't have uterus to harbor a baby in my womb to raise a child. So there are duties allocated by the Lord who is a creator. So chastity means not controlling, not getting controlled. Chastity is offering our heart in loyalty to the personality who is supposed to surrender to. And husband is one of the personality whom the wife takes shelter. And through that shelter, she grows in her personality, in her goal of life, in her progress of spiritual life. So husbands are not supposed to dominate women just because they are husbands. They are supposed to inspire the woman, inspire the wife by the example of Krishna consciousness, by the example of virtues that they are supposed to exhibit. And it should be such a personality, such a virtuous husband, that looking at the husband's example, the wife naturally gets inspiration to offer herself to the man's guidance. It is not controlling and being controlled. It is being inspiring and getting inspired. The husband is exemplary in his behavior, in his love, in his protection. Then the wife gets inspired to remain under his shelter. So these chastity is very important to be understood very equally by men and women. As much as the wife is supposed to remain chaste to the husband is also not supposed to go around and look at many women lustily, but remain chaste to her, his wife, and dedicate himself in protecting her and remaining with her only. In our Karmi literature, we are always told that a man's mind is like, in India, there are railways. And in the railways, there is something called as unreserved third class compartment. That means everybody just walks in, and there's no reservation. You just walk in, you stand, you create a stampede. No one comes to check also. So it's called as unreserved third class railway compartment. So a man's mind is compared to a lady's unreserved railway compartment. That means his heart is like a third class railway compartment of ladies. Many ladies come in, many ladies leave. Many ladies come in the heart of the man. He contemplates on them, he lusts over them, and then they leave and the new women come. As much as he will keep on seeing everybody in the world, he keeps getting attracted, keeps contemplating upon them, tries to sometimes act upon his contemplations, and he's always contaminated in his mind. This is a man who is not a devotee of the Lord, is a normal material person. And women by nature are chaste. If given a proper cultivation, they remain chaste. It is their nature to remain loyal, to remain committed. If given good protection, good guidance, good cultivation in childhood, a woman naturally will exhibit loyalty to a man whom she is married to. But today's world, because it is exploitative, so many men are exploiting so many women. That's why this is misunderstood and misinterpreted. And that's why this sloka is thrown out. But as soon as we give up the understanding of the need of the protection for women, and the women start going out unprotected, then there is exploitation. That's why there are rapes, there are sexual assaults, sexual abuse, and so many things have come up in the world. That's because of the women lose their protection. Anybody, any woman who is protected well by the husband will never be unstable in the mind, will never be utshrunkal. Utshrunkal means unbridled. And that is what is compared here in this verse, where the speaker of Bhagavatam is speaking about a yogi or about a spiritual aspirant. The spiritual aspirant is supposed to control his mind, because his mind is like that unchaste lady. Unchaste lady means her chastity, her loyalty, her connection with one man is lost. And now she is thinking of many men, trying to enjoy with many men. So when she gets attracted to other men, then she feels that this man who is my husband is a hindrance in my enjoyment with other men. So at times with the association of the other man, she may kill the husband. So this unchaste lady is compared here to the mind of a yogi. And when the mind of a yogi is not controlled by regulative principles, how do we control our mind? We control our mind by following regulative principles, following the etiquettes given in scriptures at a particular stage of our life. For example, if you are grihasthas, then there are some etiquettes. When we are brahmacharis, there are some etiquettes. When we are sannyasis, there are some etiquettes. When we are young, there are some etiquettes. When we are grown up, there are some etiquettes. When we are married, there are some etiquettes. So there are so many sets of etiquettes only meant for human beings, not for any other species than human beings. Only human beings are supposed to be under regulation, because human beings are bestowed with the opportunity to reach the Lord, to meet the Lord. This particular life as human being is the only life where we can achieve the Lord, the purpose of our life. And for that there are restrictions. If there is no goal of achieving the Lord, there is no restriction, like animals, simply sense gratification. But human being, not simply sense gratification. There is some restricted allowance of sense gratification, and rest all is unregulated. Everything is regulated. And why regulations are there? Again, regulations are there to help us to progress, not to control us, not to get ruled, not to get ruled by somebody else who is more powerful than us. Like the women may think that, oh, why I should follow a man? Why should be I controlled by a man? No, it is protection. The regulations are not supposed to be controlling agencies. The regulations are protections and helpers for a progressive life, progressive human life. So who are the paramours for an uncontrolled mind? The paramours for uncontrolled mind is lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. Shad Ripus, the six enemies of the mind. So Marichi is the son of Lord Brahma, and Marichi represents mind. And he had 6 sons. They represent the Shadvikaras. Marichi had 6 sons. There is a nice story in the Puranas that Marichi had 6 sons, and Brahma one time did some unexemplary act, which I don't want to discuss now. But looking at Brahmaji's unexemplary act, these 6 children of Marichi, whose grandfather was Brahmaji, they laughed and they made some disrespectful statements and some disrespectful activities. So Marichi, being a very loyal son of Brahmaji, did not like this, that they are ridiculing, disrespecting their grandfather. So he cursed them that you will become born in a demoniac family. So they became grandsons of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu. Yeah. So Hiranyakashipu had a son named Kalanemi, and they were the sons of Kalanemi. And they were very aspirants of spiritual advancement. So what they did, they went to the mountains and started performing tapasya to achieve great powers, great spiritual powers or material powers also. So when they came back after their achievements or whatever their performance of tapasya, Hiranyakashipu came to know that they performed tapasya without his permission, without taking blessings from him, because he was in the mood of the controller of the whole universe. He was thinking that everything in the 14 planets should happen only by my guidance or my order or within my permission. And how dare my own grandsons do not ask my permission to do tapasya, because it is my domain to perform tapasya and to achieve great powers, or under my jurisdiction and my authority, in my control and observation and supervision, others should perform. How dare my grandsons do this? So when he came to know that his grandsons did tapasya without his consent, without his blessings, so he cursed them that you will be killed by your own father. So then they were born as Devaki's sons. The 6 sons, they took birth in Devaki's womb one after another. And they were killed by Kamsa, who was previous lifetime, he was Kalanemi. In the previous lifetime, Kalanemi was killed by Vishnu. So he was an arch rival of Vishnu. So he came in the same mood as Kamsa. And then he was killing Devaki's sons one after another. And in scriptures we know that Narad Muni came and instigated him to kill those children. So scriptures explain why Narad Muni, being a saintly personality, is propagating or promoting infanticide. Why he is promoting Balhatya? Because he knew the past, present and future. He knew that. And he also knew that when these 6 sons will be killed, they will go in a place where Krishna will go finally and rescue them. And they will be delivered by Krishna in the course of time to their highest position. So that's why this particular step of getting killed by their own father at the last life, as per the curse of Hiranyakashipu, was an important step. So he was not promoting sinful activity, he was promoting deliverance. Because you can perform such kind of activities only when you are in knowledge. When you are in proper knowledge, one can perform these activities of something like instigating Kamsa to kill baby children. So this is the history, how we understand, and this is the enemies of mind. These things are enemies of mind. And Ravana represents lust. And there are so many things in the scriptures. What we have to understand is, the primary enemy of the mind is lust. The primary, the first and foremost enemy of the mind is lust. Bhagavad Gita also explains this is the most dangerous, all-devouring, sinful enemy of the soul. Mahashano, Mahapapma. Krishna explains lust as the most worst enemy of the soul, because in definition, in gross sense, lust means bodily attraction of the opposite sex, or it means a sexual activity or sexual attraction. But that's not the only meaning of lust. The real meaning of lust or kama is attraction to any things which are not connected with the Lord, or desire to enjoy separate from the Lord, or desire to enjoy things without connecting with the Lord. Then even if I earn money and enjoy my money by eating good food and wearing good clothes, that becomes lusty activity because it is not connected with the Lord. So we have to understand lust in real understanding. The real disease or real cause why we are today in the material world, in this material body which is dying every day, which is reaching old age every day and heading towards death every single day, because we have decided, we have chosen to live a life independent of the Lord, to enjoy sense gratification without being honoring the authority of the Lord, or without being connected to the Lord, without being a servant of the Lord. We want to remain independent. We don't want anybody like Lord to control us. So the first thing enters as soon as we give up the Lord. Krishna bhuliya jeev bhoga vancha kore. First thing, when we forget or give up Krishna, knowingly or unknowingly, voluntarily, then what happens immediately is bhoga vancha kore. The desire to enjoy sense gratification comes up in the heart. And then what happens? As soon as the desire to enjoy independent of the Lord comes up in the heart, nikatast maya tare jhapatiya dhore. Maya, who is just across the corner, around the corner, grabs the living entity and controls the living entity there onwards and beats the living entity with sufferings again and again, perpetually. And then this lust is never a satisfiable item. However you try, one gross understanding is sex. However you try to fulfill, it just burns. And certainly, however you enjoy the material world, however money you get, achieve, you acquire money, you acquire fame, you acquire position, you acquire power, influence, and so many things are there, gross and subtle. How much ever you want to achieve those, respectful position, having respect for various reasons, it is never satisfied. Because there is always a person who has more than you. In any of these things, money, beauty, acquisitions, property, and you know, influence, and the authority, and the power, respectfulness, so many things are there. Material world is designed in such a way that at all the time, there's someone who is higher, upper than you, who has these things better than you. So that's why all the happiness and satisfaction of the material world is temporary, because as soon as you get something wonderful, you start enjoying, the enjoyment ends when you see somebody who has more than you. Immediately your happiness ends. If you buy a very beautiful new posh car, you're driving, and suddenly you see on the road somebody is in a bigger car than that, or a more costlier or prestigious car than you, your immediately happiness ends there, because you want to have that, or somebody has more than you. So this lust, when it is unsatisfied, or when its satisfaction or happiness is ended by the situations around you, by comparison or by whatever reason, then that lust converts into anger. And I explained that when anger comes, the rational intelligence, sad asad vivek buddhi, sar asar vivek buddhi, the rational buddhi that decides whether what is good, what is bad, that is lost. However, even if it is there, even if you have created that, you have been cultivated by your parents or your family to develop that intelligence to understand what is good and what is bad, still when one gets angry, that faculty gets closed. You cannot connect to that faculty of sad asad vivek buddhi. And in that situation of not connecting with that intelligence which is required to be executed, one does things which are detrimental to its own progress. And then Bhagavad Gita explains that one falls down. The same thing is mentioned in the purport of this shloka also. Moment the soul becomes lusty, there's a track, there's a trajectory, there's a pathway which the lust and anger takes you through. Bhagavad Gita explains it very beautifully. Lust and anger, then delusion, then loss of memory, and then fall down in the hellish conditions of life and total destructions. Losing the opportunity of progress, losing the opportunity of evolution to the lotus feet of the Lord. All that opportunity is lost simply because one gets dissatisfied in his lusty aspirations. So Arjuna is advised by Krishna, right at the root, please cut down this poisonous weed called lust. At the very basis, cut it off. Don't allow it to grow in the form of anger or delusion or loss of memory or all those kind of trajectory of falling down. Curb this lust at the very beginning, O Arjuna. This is the most sinful, all-devouring enemy of the soul. And then it gives rise to envy because somebody has more than you. Or if you have a lot of enjoyment, you get intoxicated with the enjoyment. And also when the enjoyment is very intoxicating to you, you forget the good things and bad things and good etiquettes and bad etiquettes. You become so proud, and it is explained pride comes before the fall. So either way, lust is dangerous. When lust is giving you a lot of satisfaction, it gives you pride. If the lust doesn't satisfy you, you get angry and you destroy yourself through anger. It is also said that anger burns your spiritual progress. Anger burns your piety. Anger makes you insane, even if you are a very sane person.
Hare Krishna, we cannot hear Prabhuji, right?
Yes, Mataji.
Yes, he's here. He may have lost connection.
Yeah, I think he will come back in a second.
His video is stuck, I guess.
Yeah. We can wait for Prabhuji.
Call.
Does Shamagauri Mataji have to call Prabhuji?
Yeah, Mataji. I think he will know that he got disconnected, Mataji, maybe. Yeah, she's calling.
Prabhuji is not picking up. I don't know what to do.
Mataji, he will know in few seconds, Mataji, that he is not in the call.
I don't know, Mataji, what to do. Prabhuji is not picking up.
Mataji, we can wait, Mataji, another 5 minutes and see. Because he will know that his connection is lost. Then he will come to the call.
Yeah.
Mataji, do you want me to call him?
Yes, that would be nice.
Can you send me the can you send me the no, yes, Prabhuji, yes. Join, Mataji.
Yeah.
Prabhu join. I think Prabhu join.
Yeah, see?
Okay, yeah.
Sorry for the interruption. Can you please give me permission to co-host?
Yes, Prabhuji, you have it.
Can you make me co-host again?
Yes, Prabhuji, you have it.
Yeah, okay. So I was telling when we got interrupted that when America was fighting with Vietnam, the American soldiers did not know who was the enemy. So that's why they lost the war. So we need to identify our enemies. And that's why scriptures are important. Scriptures are there to give us guidance to learn who are our enemies and to first to identify them and then to deal with them. And how do we deal with them? We deal with them with the association of devotees. We deal with the mercy of spiritual master. We deal with them by reading scriptures and learning and empowering us and strengthening our spiritual status so that we are able to tackle with the enemy, knowing the enemy well. Taking the enemy for granted or thinking oneself to be stronger, the enemy to be weaker, it is not considered to be intelligent. In warfare, it is understood that when we never demean our enemy or never, think that our enemy is very weak. Even weaker enemy, in true sense, also should be taken very seriously, because when we are most unaware or unprepared at that time, the most unfortunate condition, the weaker enemy also wins. Like Vietnam also defeated America. It was a very weak country, very small country. It was a very insignificant country. It could defeat the giant. Just because first of all, the soldiers did not know who the enemy was and they were just fighting in darkness. They didn't know what to do with, whom fight with. And they got defeated because the enemy was knowing exactly who the enemy of theirs was. So coming back to the point that we need to take these six enemies very seriously, because they can destroy the whole efforts, whole achievements that we have acquired after hard work in this life. These enemies can destroy them instantly. Long-term achievements can be destroyed instantly by these enemies if we succumb to them. So how do we save ourselves? The only understanding that we have that we cannot control lust or anger or envy on our own. We have to take shelter of the Lord who can control this for us. If anyone, any sadhaka like us thinks that I have conquered lust, I don't get angry anymore, then sure enough he will be the victim of lust and anger very soon, because he thinks that he is the controller or he has controlled the lust and anger. Humble person who takes shelter of the Supreme Lord and the Sri Gurudev, he is safe, because for his sake the Lord controls his lust, keeps it controlled for him. And as soon as he becomes proud, he again loses, succumbs to the lust. So the easiest way is to always be obedient to the spiritual master. And if spiritual master is not available to instruct you at a particular moment of time, then whoever is the senior devotee whom you have taken shelter as a counselor or for his instructions, but always remain under the shelter of following the order of the seniority or spiritual master. Moment we are connected in service to our spiritual master, in obedience, then we are protected or immunized against lust. Lust will not be effective. Lust is around, but it will not be able to affect us, because there is a vaccine called vaccine called service or obedience to the spiritual authority. When there is consistency in following the spiritual authority sincerely and in all unity, that is the greatest protection. Then the enemy becomes very weak or becomes incapable of defeating you. I'll give a small example in 5 minutes, 2 minutes. In Bhaktivedanta Hospital, before it came up, we were running all nursing home. Before nursing home, we purchased one flat, one apartment, and we started a small activity of outpatients. So when we had gone to actually purchase the first apartment, we went and discussed in the owner's house the negotiations, and we settled our negotiations, and we came out. Few doctors and the owner came to leave us at the gate, and he had a small puppy. He had a small puppy who also accompanied the master to the main gate of the building or the what do you call it, the colony. And while he was saying goodbye to us at the gate, there were three big huge dogs on the main road, and they started barking at this puppy who is sheltered by the master. So what the puppy did, very interesting, like I can have this example in my life. The three huge dogs were barking with full force, and the puppy first didn't do anything. The puppy went in between two legs of his master, took his position and stance, and started barking to the three big dogs. And after some time, the three big dogs went away, because the three big dogs saw that the small, weak puppy is sheltered by a strong man whom we cannot conquer. The dogs understood and dogs went away. So if the dog would have barked on his own to the three big dogs, he would have been destroyed by the three big dogs. But before doing any activity against those three big dogs, the small puppy took shelter of his master. And then under the shelter of the master, he barked at the big dogs, and the big dogs got defeated and went away. The big dogs even did not think of attacking the puppy anymore, because the puppy was sheltered by a strong human being. This same example can be followed by all of us. We are like those puppies. And the lust, anger, greed, and these enemies are like big dogs. We are in no position to defeat the dogs on our own. There's no question at any point of time, by any calculation, we cannot be defeated by, we cannot conquer those three big dogs, or lust, anger, and greed, or six enemies. The moment we take shelter of people who have already conquered these things by the mercy of the Lord, then by their mercy, although we are like puppies, a weakling, we can be unaffected by attack of these enemies. So I always feel that whether I am strong spiritually or not, whether I have done enough service in my life or not, whether I have followed the rules and regulations in my life or not, whether I am austere or not, whether I am very sincere or not, in all these conditions, which is true, I am not such a sadhaka, I am not a tapasvi, I am not a learned person, I am not a great austere personality in rules and regulations, I am weak in everything. In all these weak conditions, the only strength we have is surrender, humble surrender to the authority, who is strong spiritually. And then we may grow to become stronger in our sadhana and everything, but in all conditions of life, with the baseline understanding that we are Amito Kangala, Krishna Krishna Boli, Dhai Tava Pache Pache. If we are in this mood, then we will be protected all the time. And however small puppy we are, no big dog can think of attacking us. So in such a condition of taking shelter of spiritual authority, in humble surrender, one can restrain his mind, and then one can make tangible progress towards the goal of life. This is the essence of this verse. And thank you very much. If there is time, we can take questions. Whoever has questions, we can take questions.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for such a beautiful class. Actually, this verse is very hard to digest, but you gave in a different way. It is so nice that you took it in different way and you gave very nice explanation so that nobody is upset about this verse. Thank you so much. Finally, your
any comments, any?
Finally, the last exam.
Any comments or questions?
Prabhuji, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Last example. I can hear you.
Last example was very, very nice. How, you know, that dog has taken shelter of the human. Like how we can also take shelter of Krishna. So then this all, lust, all that, you know, enemy, all that will go, just run away from us because we have Krishna with us. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful class. I request devotees, please raise your hands if you have any questions so that we go according to the raised hands. Yes, Deepika Mataji, can you go, Mataji?
Yes, thank you, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful class. It's so nice to hear you.
Can you come on video on and show me? Okay, speak.
Yes, Prabhuji, just in continuation to what Vrinda Mataji said when you said about the dog. It is feed, Maharaj always says, you know, that feed the good dog so that the bad dog can starve, you know. So this is just, I wanted to add to what Vrinda Mataji said, you know. Maharaj always says this, you know. Yes. So our anarthas, you don't feed them, you know, feed the good dog, you know. Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu.
Yeah, that is correct. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you. Nice to see you. Mataji can...
Yeah. Shiromani Nandarani Mataji, please go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for such a wonderful class. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Like you're discussing about the modes of nature, like mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. Like I would like to ask, like, what is the mode of the Vaishnava, Prabhuji? In what mode is the Vaishnava situated?
As I explained in the beginning only, real Vaishnava is always situated in the Divya Guna, in the mode of transcendence. By the dint of his connectivity to the Lord and obedience to spiritual master, he is by definition supposed to be in Divya Guna, in the mode of transcendence.
Okay, Prabhuji, thank you so much.
Yeah, Gauri Mataji, please go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for this enlightening session. It was very, very knowledgeable. Prabhuji, you were mentioning about the natural quality of female or being feminine is that they are naturally loyal and they like commitment and all of that. So I just wanted to ask, what makes a chaste woman unchaste? Like we have seen so many examples in which during the earlier stages of life, a woman is so loyal, innocent and committed, and later on she becomes quite unchaste, like not in all the cases, but then what makes her change in this way?
One is our own deviation, and second is lack of protection from the person who is supposed to protect. So one is the cause of the self, that the woman doesn't want to, but the husband may not be exemplary or inspiring in his nature or worthy of husband. Then her mind gets wavered and she looks for some other shelter in some other man. That is one cause. And second thing is when she is unprotected, then due to the situation of the lack of protection, she is vulnerable to deviation in chastity. These are the two reasons. So at all kind, all conditions, all situations, a woman or a girl should remain under the protection of a bona fide man, who is either her father, husband or son. But scriptures do not allow any women to be independent without protection. Then by nature, they get deviated in their chastity and they are exploited and they become insecure.
And one more thing, Prabhuji, when it is talking about lovers or paramours, is it also talking about any previous relations that she may have had before her marriage, or is it just after the marriage? It's talking about illicit relations.
All the relationships which are contrary or beyond the relationship of marriage, all are considered to be illicit, whether they are previous or whether they are current. They can be previous relationship before wedding, or they can be current relationship out of marriage. All these things are considered to be in the category of illicit. And any time we are engaged in any illicit activity, even in thoughts, in contemplation, in meditation, we think illicit way, then our destruction starts. The pollution of the mind in the form of meditating on illicit activities also leads us to destruction spiritually. What to speak of spiritually? Spiritually also and materially also, physically also, we get exploited. So, some of us, many of us may have, before becoming devotee, may have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and then we became a devotee, and somehow we could not go along with the previous connection, and we got broken, and we came into a new life, and we got married. But the mind is such that the memories of previous emotional engagements, you know, they actually deviate us and bind us to lusty activities in thoughts. So, once we become devotees and we are now married with husband or with a wife, then we have to delete our slate of previous life, of the past. Because dwelling in the past, relationships are all going to be always detrimental to our progress in Krishna consciousness in the current situation. That's why men or women, maybe me or maybe any woman, we are not supposed to dwell even in thoughts with our previous loving sentiments or relationships. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It made everything clear. And Prabhuji, please forgive me for asking this foolish question. Do you mean emotional connection as well, or is it just physical relation with any previous partner you're talking about? That person?
Even in mind, even in thoughts, you may not anything. But if you are contemplating, contemplation will come in the words and in action one day. So you have to watch your thoughts. Even the thoughts cannot be illicit. Thoughts cannot be illegitimate. They are very detrimental to the progress of the soul. So physical, forget it. Physical, if somebody gets into illicit way, then we are destroyed. The maximum destruction of spiritual life takes place when we are engaged in illicit connections with men and women.
Right.
I'm talking about beginning of that, thinking. Suddenly you come across a message from the previous lover. Suddenly you come across the person in some party or some gathering, and all the memories are aroused. But at that time you have to control ourselves and not dwell in those. Not let your mind loose to dwell in those thoughts and activities. Krishna consciousness is a subtle science. It's science of consciousness. So this consciousness is what is precious, and the consciousness needs to be protected by not thinking of anything which is illicit. I hope it is clear.
Yes, Prabhuji. But Prabhuji, suppose if someone, like as you were giving example, before coming in devotional, anything like that, if someone has had such experiences, is there any way to not get involved in such things, or just by chance or anything like
that? Just don't do it. That's all. Just don't do it. That's all I can say. There are no methods. Some things are absolute no. Intolerance to them. Those things. Like I was eating maybe fish before or a chicken before. After becoming devotee, forget it. Even if you like it so much or your memories are there of those tastes, beautiful tastes, no question. There are some things which are absolute no in spiritual life. There is no room for some indulgence. There is no room for some involvement. There is no room for any involvement in any of these activities.
Right.
Otherwise, they can't make progress in spiritual life. Otherwise, they cannot make progress in spiritual life.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. I was feeling a little intimidated while asking such questions, but thank you so much for understanding and answering me.
No problem. Please ask boldly.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. So now Indu Mataji wants to ask a question.
Yeah. Indu Mataji, please go ahead, Mataji.
Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you for such a beautiful session.
Loudly, please. I can't hear anything.
Give me a moment.
Loudly, please.
Yes, Prabhuji. Just one second. Let me just connect.
Yes, she's trying to connect to headsets, Prabhuji. Just give one second.
No problem.
Is this better, Prabhuji?
Very good. Please.
Okay. Dandavat Pranam, Prabhuji. Thank you for turning the whole verse around and making us explain it properly. Understand it in the right sense. So, very grateful to you for that. Prabhuji, I have a question. So, in this, they have mentioned that we should always be under the shelter of somebody. So, what happens if there is a situation where we don't have anybody that we can take shelter of, like a father, a husband, or children? What do we do then?
By the dint of previous karmas, somebody's father may die, or somebody's husband may die, or somebody may not get married only, or somebody's children may die before they get old. There are situations. My brother has lost his son. My brothers, they don't have a son. Take care of the wife. When my brother will go, my bhabhi will be having no son. This happens. Or somebody loses his father in childhood only. Like my grandmother lost her husband in her young age only. My father was only nine years. So all these things are there. But in that case, we should find a guru or find a mentor or a spiritual guide and remain under his shelter. In our society of ISKCON, there are many ladies who have lost their husbands or lost their sons, or actually there is no protection from any man. So then they take shelter of a grahastha couple who is senior to them and take their guidance and always remain in their guidance. But that senior shelter has to be always there. Even though you are materially in the family life or unsheltered in technical sense, you need to take shelter of a spiritual senior guide. He could be a Shiksha Guru. He could be a senior devotee in the temple around you. Or he may be spiritual master, guru, actual guru. In all conditions of life, you need protection. If no direct protection available in your family, you need to work hard to get the protection from spiritual angle or spiritual society. But if you remain unsheltered, then you are subjecting yourself to a dangerous situation. Is it answering your question?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
You need to do endeavor.
Right.
I'm not able to hear you.
Oh, is this clearer, Prabhuji?
Keep the mic near your mouth like this so you can be audible.
Yes. Okay. So Prabhuji, just a follow-up question to that. Definitely for people who are not devotees, what do we do in that case? We know them personally.
Those who are, there are some dogs who have masters. They're under protection. And there are some street dogs. So what is the position of street dog according to you? Street dog can be anytime be picked up by municipality, by the local government, and they can be either destroyed or they can be mutilated or they can be misused by anybody. And those dogs who have the belt showing that he has a master, no municipality, no government can pick the dog up. He's always safe. So your answer to your question is, if there is no protection or no shelter, then only you are prone for destruction. That's all I can say. And at any moment of time, I don't want to be unprotected. I may be a strong, physically and financially and socially positioned by the, maybe a strong person. But that's not my shelter. That's not my guarantee of being protected. any condition of life, whether I'm rich, poor, influential, not influential, physically weak or strong or diseased, I need protection of spiritual authority all the time. So that my strength in the form of my power, position, authority doesn't pollute me in consciousness by giving pride to me. Or if I'm weak, I don't get exploited. In either conditions, I need spiritual authority all the time. Whole life, whole our human life has to be under the protection of a proper spiritual guide. Then our life will go straight, our progress will be smooth, it won't be hindered by any mishaps in life. Yes.
Thank you, Prabhupada.
Tiffany Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for such a wonderful class. I was so happy to see that you were giving class for us today. I don't have any questions. I just wanted to show my appreciation for the way that you explain this verse, because it is so important. It just exemplifies that in order to understand these things, we have to go deeper and go below the surface and not just, you know, read it from our material understanding. And I really appreciate how you explained how all of us as spirit souls are women when it comes to us compared to Krishna, and that we have to be chaste to Krishna in order to get the protection that we need, because we can't, you know, none of us are strong enough. None of us are powerful enough to, you know, overcome those six obstacles alone. So I'm so very grateful for your class today and all of the examples that you gave. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
You know, I will request all of you to go through a bhajan in Vaishnava book, which is called as Oe Vaishnava Thakura Doyara Sagora Edase Koruna Kori Chaya Bega Domi Chaya Dosha Sodi Chaya Guna Deho Dase Chaya Satsanga Koroe Amare Bosechi, something like that. So this clearly explains that sheltering, getting shelter of a Vaishnava. Now, see. Chaya Bega Domi, Chaya Dosha Sodi, Chaya Guna Deho Dase, Chaya Satsanga Deho E Amare, Boshechi Shongera Ache. What is said? Eka Ki Amara. I'm alone. Nahi Paya Bala. I don't have any strength in my legs. Perform sadhana also. Then, Tumi Krupa Kori, Shraddha Bindu Diya, Deho Krishna Namadone. You have been kind to me to give shelter and to give the bindu of faith. You have given me Krishna. And then finally he said, Krishna se tomara, Krishna dite paro, tomara shakati ache. And the last line is very important. With all this being in truth, amito kangala. Although I am rich, I am educated, I am influential, I am powerful, I am authoritative, but still I need to feel amito kangala. Krishna, Krishna, boli, calling Krishna, dhayetava pache pache, running after you. So this is what is a real consciousness of a Vaishnava. To always be under the shelter of an able Vaishnava. Of Vaishnava. Hare Krishna. Thank you for showing that bhajan. It's my favorite bhajan. I always sing it. In the early days, we used to sing it. Bhagavan Goswami Maharaj used to, you know, there used to be a tape recording of this bhajan. Beautifully. We used to fall in love with this bhajan. But how much meaningful that bhajan is in our life, in practical day-to-day life. It's so important to cultivate the consciousness. Although we are well-positioned and strong and beautiful and educated and powerful, to cultivate the consciousness, I'm a weakling. It's not negative consciousness, it's not negative thinking. It is positive spiritual thinking to always remain humble under the shelter of spiritual master. So Shiromani Mataji has still hand raised. Is it that she has not taken the hand away, or she has more question?
She has more question.
Hare yeah, Krishna Prabhuji. Sorry, I came back on with one more question, Prabhuji. Yeah, like according to the scriptures you're discussing, like no man should be protected under the shelter of father, husband and son. Like how about like today's girls, if you tell all these things, like you should be protection under the shelter of your father and husband. Like they keep talking about this, like about the equal rights, like men and women have equal rights, equal powers. So how do you convince them, Prabhuji?
Just convince them by your example and inspiration. Today's world is such that everything around is equality and everything has women rights and everything. The whole world is around you is like that. And we are trying to do something abstract. Even life of Krishna consciousness is not something normal looking compared to what others are doing or what others think you are doing. From others' point of view, we are abnormal. We are doing something abstract. So naturally, our girls may be influenced by that. But what we can do is, two things we can do. Create a strong example of chastity and protection in you by you taking shelter of your husband or your father or your son in the old age. And second thing, inspire them, not instruct them. Inform them, not instruct them. What scriptures say that after 10 years of age, or to be precise with you, not age-wise, as soon as they become mature, that means the girl menstruate and the boys get secondary sexual characters in their body. From that time onwards, become a friend to your girl or a boy. Stop instructing. Stop giving orders. Teach them by example and become a friend. And inspire them, then only. And after you try everything, you give a exemplary life you live in front of them and you try to inspire them and still you fail, then leave it to Krishna. And the third thing you should do is pray for them to the Lord every morning to help them, to protect them, to guide them, to get inspired by them. So these three things, then you will see the miracle transformation happening in your children and in your family.
Yeah, that was so wonderful. Anybody thank else? You so much.
Prayer is our last shelter always. All the time in the life, prayer has to be there. We need to learn to pray every single day to the Lord to help us, to guide us, to transform wherever there is required transformation. Lord can do anything. We may not be able to do anything. Hari Bol. So shall we conclude now?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class and nice question answer session, Prabhuji. I would like to offer my obeisances to you and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpa taropyasya kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai. Sita Prabhupada ki jai. He is the Swarup Prabhuji ki jai.
Jai. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Koti koti dandavat pranam. Srila Prabhupada Srila Gurudev ki jai.
Okay, bye.